here. Welcome to the Remote Edition podcast. I'm so excited that you're here. On this podcast, we bring you the latest from the world of remote work. We share stories from people working remotely from all over the world, whether they're entrepreneurs, digital nomads, freelancers, people who have remote jobs, or even people that run co-working spaces. We are sharing their stories. Whether you're already working remotely, whether you're thinking about it, or even managing a distributed team, this podcast is for you. A little bit of background about me and why I'm doing this. So I spent 6 years working in corporate sales roles in London, including the largest investment bank in the world, a San Francisco fintech unicorn. Despite these being quite impressive companies to work for a lot of people, I always felt like something was missing. And I did a lot of soul searching and asking myself why I felt like this. And I realized I just hated going into the office every single day. I became so bored of being in the same place, cramming in my holiday to 25 days. And I kept asking myself why we needed to do this when technology allows us to work from anywhere. The routine started to really get me down, so I did a lot of personal growth work and ultimately decided to take the risk, quit my job, start a podcast, and move to Bali to explore the world of remote work. And what I discovered in Bali absolutely amazed me. There are entire communities of super, super smart and talented people working and living remotely from all over the world, all doing different things and actually excited about their work. And most of them had left huge corporate jobs because they were restricted to staying in one place. From then on, I became obsessed with this way of working. It opens up so many opportunities for you to travel, spend more time with loved ones, or just do more things that you love whilst being more productive and generally happier. It also levels the playing field for global talent, which I think is something that can really change the economic landscape, solve issues in overpopulated cities, and ultimately contribute to reducing global inequality. And I just think this is so amazing. So I want to help more people take advantage of this incredible way of working. And through my guest stories, you will learn all about how they came to work remotely and the tips you can take into your own career and business. Hello, so this week is a solo episode. I am talking all about the 6 major things that I've learnt that really help when working remotely. It's been 1 year now since I quit my corporate job and I've been working remotely for an entire year. In that time, I've had remote jobs, I have started a business, and I have also done some consulting on the side as well remotely. So I've really kind of seen all 3 major elements of the way that you can work remotely. And also, I've learned off some incredible people, other freelancers, other consultants, other founders, other people with remote jobs. So all of this kind of learning and observation has gone into today's episode. The reason why I've put today's episode together is because working remotely is so different to working in office, and it requires different skills, there's different considerations, there's less structure, you're around less people generally, there's more unpredictability on the whole, and so there's definitely some key considerations that I've realised from working remotely for over a year now that can really, really make or break your day and your experience essentially. So the first one I'm going to start with is preparing for the unknown and adapting. If you're working remotely and you're changing where you're working, so you might be going from coffee shop to coffee shop, you might be going to co-working space, there are a lot more variables there than when you go to the same office every single day. So there's a bit more margin for error. There's a more unpredictable element to your day. So in my opinion, and learning from experience of turning up somewhere and thinking that I was going to do something, but then something in the environment meant that I couldn't do it, then I had a wasted few hours waiting around. It's so important to pack your bag properly. So preparing my kit for the day, I will always bring every single charger that I need, even if my phone and my laptop's on 100%. Because at the end of the day, if my laptop dies and I'm in the middle of a project, I can't finish it. If my phone dies and I need to get hold of someone, I can't. So it's so important that you pack these chargers. Yeah, you can borrow them off of other people, but what if you're in a situation where you literally couldn't? Then your day, your productivity is ruined. It sounds so obvious, but you'd be surprised at the amount of people who have asked me at my co-working space at Dojo, have you got a charger? You just think, come on guys, you've come here to work, like, you know you're using digital devices and the battery runs out. Maybe just bring your own charger and then you will not have to worry or have this stress kind of hang over your day. The other thing is headphones. So with my with the nature of my work, I do a lot of calls. I do a lot of obviously podcasting, a lot of things that require audio and me to listen to things. So having headphones is so important, because if I'm doing work at home, then it's fine. I can listen to things on loud. But if I'm in, say, Dojo or something, you know, I could be sat there editing a podcast and no one has to hear me listening to myself, which can be a really embarrassing thing. And also really uncomfortable, by the way. If any of you listening are podcasters, you'll know what I mean. But that's another thing, to just pack a pair of headphones. Just, you never know when you need them. The other tip I have is, even stupid things, like in Bali, we're in the wet season at the moment, so it rains quite frequently. Now, sometimes the rain comes out of nowhere and you can't, like, suddenly the sky is just completely grey and it starts chucking it down and you get so caught out. The other day, I bumped into my friend Seb when I was on the way to visit a friend, and it looked super grey and I was thinking, Seb, am I gonna get caught out here? And he's like, well, have you got a poncho? And I was like, no. And you'll see in Bali that so many people in the wet season, when it rains, they have these massive, it looks like bin bags, with these ponchos that people wear on their mopeds so that they don't get, like, absolutely drenched. So I bought one of those and went to see my friend, and guess what? It absolutely chucked it down. I was driving with mascara running down my face, like, completely panda eyes. It was just, I was drenched. However, because Seb, thank you Seb, shout out, told me to buy a poncho, and I did, I wore that and it covered my backpack with my MacBook in it. My MacBook doesn't fit into my seat. Imagine what would have happened. I would have lost at least £1,000 just because of that, because I bought a poncho that cost me about a quid. So now I keep that in my seat. So it's like a really, I mean, it doesn't apply to all of you listening, but it's just a metaphor, I guess, for having a backup for any situation and preparing for the unknown. Another tip is, when you have to do menial tasks, for example, every 2 months I have to take quite a long trip to immigration to do my fingerprints for my visa in Bali. And lots of people drive and take their own moped or their motorbike. But I've decided that actually that means that's 45 to an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. And sometimes even an hour and a half, 2 hours of Bali traffic, you never know, out of my day where I can't work because I'm driving. So I would rather take a taxi that costs, say, the equivalent of like £2.50 to 5 quid, and there I can work from my laptop or my phone in the back of the cab, and those 2 hours are not wasted. They're just still part of my working day. So things like that, when you have to do menial tasks or if you have to travel anywhere, is there a way that you could do it, like changing your method of transportation or something like that, where you can still use those hours, they're not wasted and you can actually work? The second one I want to mention is, the people that you surround yourself with are so, so important. And I've learned this firsthand from my experience of working remotely. So initially, the first few months of working remotely, I was living in London and I was surrounded by people who had corporate jobs. And I had just quit that. I was starting to build a brand, starting to build a podcast, thinking about what I was going to do, how I was going to make money. And I'd just given up this six-figure salary and I was earning nothing. And when you're surrounded by people who are still in the comfort of their corporate job, they're still earning a high wage, they've got all the benefits that come with a corporate job, a lot of the conversation naturally is about work and about some of the struggles they're having with their bosses and their co-workers and things like that. And also, their spending patterns match the salary that they have. And when you're a first-time entrepreneur starting out, you often are budgeting and you're sacrificing on things like that. And sometimes it can be an awkward thing if some of your friends are like, oh, let's go for dinner at Sticks and Sushi, for example, and you kind of don't want to drag down the group and be like, oh, actually, let's go to Wagamama. You know, sometimes it can be really, really difficult when you don't kind of match the people that you're hanging around with. And I started to feel really like negative, and I felt like the odd one out. I felt like I was so poor compared to my friends, and I felt like a total dropout, and what I had done was so, so different to everybody else. And that was quite difficult to constantly get up every day and back myself to, you know, make money and build a business from basically nothing that I had at that point. So that was when I started to think about moving out of London. And actually now living in Bali, around all these incredible entrepreneurs and remote workers who all have left big cities like that, and we all think in the same way, we're on the same wavelength, all trying to do the same thing, really just normalizes it, and it kind of takes the stress out of that situation. I no longer feel like the odd one out. The conversation is very similar. They have the similar challenges to me. We can all relate to each other and all support each other at the same time. People's budgets are different, but people understand that people's budgets are different. And on the whole, it's all over the place. Whereas in London, I felt like there was my budget and everybody else's budget. Whereas in Bali, there's such a range of budgets and no one cares. It doesn't feel uncomfortable to say, if someone's like, I want to take a weekend trip to, I don't know, Nusa Lembongan, and you can say, well, actually, I'm on a bit of a budget this month. Like, it's totally understandable because everybody's been there. Everybody's been in that situation where they've been budgeting. So that's one tip. You need to surround yourself with people who understand, people that get you. There's that term, you're the average of the five people that you hang around with. And the other thing, this can apply to remote work hubs, so places like Canggu, Chiang Mai, and things like that. There can be different groups of people in these places, and my experience has been that there are some like serious, serious entrepreneurs, serious remote workers, and people that are really prioritizing that and dedicated to kind of building that success for themselves. But there also are people who are taking it less seriously and they're making enough money to survive and they just want to have a good time and they want to go to all the beach clubs and they want to go out for a night out on a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday. And they don't mind. They're not trying to push and grow it. They're kind of happy with how they've got their life, and that's absolutely fine. But at the same time, it depends which group you fall into, because if you're trying to build something, if you're trying to build your own business and that's your priority, then you might not want to be hanging around with someone that wants to go to Finn's Beach Club every night, you know, and spending like a lot of money on all of those things rather than spending money on, I don't know, personal development or going to the gym and staying fit so they've got energy to dedicate to their business. It's important to know who you want to be associated with, who you want to hang around with, and what's important to you from a group of friends. And I'm so lucky now that I've established this group of friends who, they're all entrepreneurs or freelancers or people with really serious kind of remote jobs, and they all want to make successes of their lives. And they're all so supportive. We're all so supportive of each other, and we're all we're all just so understanding. We're at different stages of our businesses and careers, but we all trying to support each other and help each other, and we can all just relate to the challenges that we've all got. And I can already feel it like pushing me up and helping me grow at a pace that I wouldn't necessarily be able to do on my own, or if I was surrounded by the people that I was surrounded with in London, or people like the party people that you kind of get in Chengdu that are going out like all the time and don't really care as much about building such a successful kind of business for themselves. And that's not to say that any of those things are wrong, but if you really want to achieve something, it's so important to consciously think about who you're hanging out with, and are they helping and supporting that dream of yours, or are they kind of holding you back a little bit? The third thing that is so important is your health and your energy levels. So I, at the moment, just full disclosure, I'm working like 12 to 13 hour days, and I absolutely wouldn't change it for the world, because I'm enjoying myself so, so much more than what I was doing in my corporate job. But I am working 12 to 13 hour days. The nature of this kind of work is much more energy intensive than it was in the corporate world, because I care so much more about my work. I have an emotional investment in the work that I'm doing, because it is my business. It's something I care about and I'm passionate about and I want to build. That drains my energy more than working in corporate and not really feeling that emotional link to the work that I was doing. The other thing is that a lot of the work that I'm doing now is more creative and like uses a lot more areas of my brain than I did when I was in corporate. Almost in corporate, some of my job was so routine and automated, and I was so used to it that it didn't use up as much of my brain capacity, if you like. So for me, one of my biggest risks to my productivity is burnout. And the way I think about burnout is a little bit about the mind's version of an injury in sports. Because if you burn out, you're basically out of action for a while until you feel better and you go back to your longer working days. It's like sport. If you're working out in the gym like every day and it's important to you, and then you get an injury, you have to rest. You can't continue to work out at that pace on that injury. So it's so important to prevent injury and prevent burnout. The way that you do this is by preserving your energy, looking after your energy levels, and making sure you maximize the amount of energy that you've got in one day. And the ways that you can do that is by looking after your health. So that's why fitness and building my strength physically is so important to me. One, it allows me to challenge myself every day. So I really got into CrossFit lately. I find it a really challenging workout. The nature of the way that they build their classes allow you to really push yourself and almost compete with yourself. And I love being able to challenge myself and push myself physically every single day, because it trains my mind to know that, okay, Susie, you can overcome these challenges. I didn't think I could do 6 rounds in that time, but then I pushed myself and I did it. So what other things can I achieve in a business capacity that I think that I can't? You know, it trains my mind to think I can achieve more than the surface level. And then the other thing is, by working out, you know, you're getting stronger, your body's becoming more efficient. There's a quote by Tony Robbins that says, the higher your energy level, the more efficient your body, the more efficient your body, the better you feel, and the more you'll use your talent to produce outstanding results. So it's all about energy levels. And how else can you affect your energy levels? By eating nutritious and energy-rich foods rather than sugary, unhealthy foods that basically make you feel like shit and drain your energy levels. So in Bali, we're so blessed and lucky. There's so many amazing fruits and vegetables available, such amazing restaurants that produce incredible, like, taste some of the tastiest healthy food I've ever had, but I'm just really conscious about what I'm putting into my body, because essentially that is fueling my day. It can make such a difference to my output and my results in business. The other element of this is looking after your mental energy as well. So this is stuff like mindset. It is so important to surround yourself with positive things that build up your mindset, that don't drain your energy. So being around, like, I've seen a lot of posts lately on a specific Facebook group that I'm part of, and there's a lot of negativity, a lot of almost shaming other people and other professions that people have decided to go into. And I just think, you know, this is so negative and energy draining, and it actually makes me feel a little bit negative when I'm reading these things. So I've muted the notifications. You have to preserve this mental energy that you have as well, because, you know, working these 12 to 13 hour days and doing a lot of creative tasks, you are using a lot of mental capacity, a lot of mental brain energy. And so it's so important to make sure you're thinking in a positive way, and you can use all of your creative resource to apply to the task. If you're absorbing a lot of these negative energies, you're more likely to question what you're doing. Oh God, I'm not good enough. Or I can't be bothered to do this, and things like that. So preserving your mental energy and looking after that level is so important as well. The fourth thing is failing fast and learning constantly. So I'm going to get a little bit vulnerable here perhaps, but some of you may remember that I went to organize an event when I was back in London over Christmas, and in the end, it failed. I tried to sell tickets and I wasn't selling tickets. And it was so annoying, because at the time I didn't mind failing. I didn't mind pulling the event. At the time I didn't understand why the tickets weren't selling. I ran a similar event 6 months before and sold 30 tickets. So I was so confused, and I was almost like, well, I need to pull this event because it's not selling, but I literally don't know why it's not selling. So in the end, I went out and asked a load of people that were kind of following the event that hadn't bought. I asked some of my friends what they thought the reason was. And I did a lot of reflection myself, and I realized that actually the 4th of January doesn't really give very much time to buy tickets. People don't buy tickets to a goal setting workshop when it's like the 26th and 27th of December. They're literally got their head in a tin of Quality Streets. They are watching Christmas movies. They are drinking wine. They're not thinking about improving themselves at that point, you know, and Christmas can be such an overwhelming time. They're not thinking about January and the new year and what goals they're going to set for their next year. And I, as the event was on the 4th of January, I really wasn't giving myself enough lead time to sell these tickets. So in the end, I pulled the event and I learned that actually the date was wrong. The other thing that I realized that really occurred to me when I was doing this reflection was, why was I doing an in-person event when I'm all about remote working? I'm all about digital. I'm all about online. My audience is no longer just people in London. We're listened to on this podcast in 45 countries. By organizing an event in London, I was isolating such a big part of my audience that I'd built. And yeah, okay, maybe that event worked back 6 months before when I was living in London and my audience was mainly people in London. I wasn't talking so much about the remote working thing. But it's so important to practice what you preach. And that was not in keeping in the kind of brand that I was trying to build, the message I was trying to convey, that working remotely, you don't need to be in a physical place. It was contradictory to my message. And that made me realize that actually moving forward, physical events shouldn't necessarily be a main part of my strategy, because it is not in keeping with the messaging that I'm conveying as part of my brand. So it's so important to fail fast and learn from your failures. And one of the books that was the most incredible book that I read on this and taught me this was Eric Ries, The Lean Startup. And something that he says in the book is the only way to win is to learn faster than anyone else. So yeah, okay, that event failed and I pulled it, but look at the value that I took out of that. I learned about what my strategy should be moving forward. I learned that about dates and how important it is to think about the date and the lead time you have to sell tickets to an event. I learned so many things. And in the remote working space, even if you're an employee or even if you're looking for a remote job, like, if you fail an interview, get some feedback, learn as to why you failed and use that and move on to the next one. And eventually you will get there because you'll take that feedback, you'll learn from it, and you'll get better and better at the process, and you'll get one eventually. If you never started and you never applied because you were too scared, you're never going to get that valuable feedback that will get you to the point that you will be a good enough candidate to get one of these jobs. And it's the same with business. If you're a remote founder as well, it's about failing fast and learning. It's not about spending months and months crafting the perfect product to then put it out to the market and realize that no one wants it. That's such a waste of time. You might as well put it out to the market, get feedback, continually refine it, and you'll end up with a product that the market actually wants. And there's this other thing that people say is, if you're not embarrassed by the work that you did 6 months ago, then you launched too late. And I think about this with my podcast. I haven't listened back to the first few episodes. We've done 40 episodes now, but I haven't listened back to the first few because I'm just too, I feel like I'm gonna be far too uncomfortable listening to myself then. I feel like I've definitely improved since then. And so true, you have to put the first one out to get better. You have to be okay with putting something shit out and just knowing that that enables you to actually produce something good. You can't produce something good without starting and producing something shit to begin with. So in my opinion, failing is learning. Failure is a part of business, is a part of getting success. You have to fail. I don't even think of it as a failure. It's like a challenge. It's like overcoming a challenge, you know? You go through these series of failures before something works. It's never an overnight success. It's never, oh, I'm completely a success without any failures. You're always going to go through failures. And it's better to just fail fast and learn, and you'll get to the success quicker than, you know, prolonging action because you're scared of failing. Failure is inevitable. The other really important thing for remote work is consciously choosing your communication method. So with remote work, there's so many options for methods of communication. There can be text, so over WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger or Slack. There can be audio, there could be voice notes, for example, phone calls. Or there could be a video, so that could be like Zoom or Skype or FaceTime, for example, or Google Hangouts. There's so many different communication methods, and what I've learned is some are appropriate for certain times and others are not. And it's so important, based on the outcome of what you want from that conversation, to pick the right communication method. So I'll give you an example. The guys at the Coaching Masters that I've recently started working with, one of them, Liam, lives in London, and I was hopping on a call with him to basically meet him, introduce myself, talk about potentially working together. And I said to the guys, oh, I'm not sure if I'll be able to do video because my Wi-Fi might not hold out in the villa. And Lewis mentioned to me that actually video is really, really important, especially when meeting Liam for the first time, and it's a big part of their business, and you just get, it's just a different conversation when you can see that person. So that went in, and I took that feedback on board, and I got on my moped and drove to Dojo. They've got much stronger Wi-Fi than my villa, and booked into one of their Skype booths and did the call on Zoom on video. And it went really well. We're obviously now working together. And if I hadn't done that and I had just done audio, and Liam prefers a video method of communication, perhaps the outcome wouldn't have been the same. Perhaps we wouldn't be working together at the moment because I didn't communicate in the way that he preferred. And also, it's true, with video, you can see someone's expressions. It's a more human element. It's closer to actually being in person. And if that is meaningful to the person on the other end, then I think it's a really important thing to do or incorporate. And so that's something I've learned, that actually the channels of communication are so important, and you should think about which one you're going to select for different conversations. Another example is when some of you guys are DMing me on Instagram, or I've got some new followers and I'm chatting to them about, you know, why they're following me and what they're interested in and what their challenges are with regards to remote work, I will often voice note you. And some of you might, we've probably chatted already, but I think it just adds a human element. It's funny these days on Instagram that you can connect and follow people that are strangers, you don't know each other. And just writing out text, it's just one step further away from this kind of human element of communication. And sometimes it can feel copied and pasted and not tailored. Whereas a voice note, you can really hear the person's tone of voice. It almost adds this human element. Okay, well, they're not a bot, they are actually a person. And it's much more personal. And I really, really enjoy communicating with my audience in that way. I think voice notes are such an amazing feature. Based on all the different communication methods and remote working, it's so important to consciously select which method you're going to choose. So when you're communicating, ask yourself, is this the most effective communication method for what I'm trying to get here? Another example is my sales outreach for getting guests on this podcast and things like that. Sometimes I have to reach out to people who don't know who I am. Often I will appear in, you know, that hidden box thing of like message requests on Instagram when they don't follow you, because I'm reaching out cold to people that I've noticed and I think they're great and I would love to share their story. They probably get messages and cold DMs like all the time. So I'm like, how do I differentiate myself? And I will often send a little text note, because I think, well, if you just sent a voice note just completely with no context, sometimes they're just gonna not even listen because they have no idea what's behind that voice note. So I'll send a little message like, hi, I'm Susie, like my link to them, and just a brief sentence or two. And then I'll send them a voice note with a little bit more context and trying to build that relationship, because then it adds this human element like I was talking about before. And also it's a little bit different. It's harder to say no to a person than it is to say no to a text message, you know. The communication choice is so key. And another thing that people say is communication and trust are the two main ingredients for a successful relationship. So I think this was meant in a dating sense, but it applies to everything. It applies to when you're reaching out to people cold, it applies to your coworkers, it applies to your clients, everything. Communication and trust. And the method of communication that you choose can really have an impact on how you build trust with that person. Going back to that video call with Liam, video calling was obviously really important to Liam. It enabled him to build his trust of me more than it would of an audio call. So it was so important for me to communicate with him in that way. Communication and choosing the method is absolutely key. So the final one I want to chat about is morning routine. And this kind of comes under the energy and health realm, but it was so massively transformational, and it affected my results so hugely that I wanted to give it its own kind of section. And I've even done an entire podcast on this. So go and check out episode 30 if you want to learn more, and I go into way more detail and tips on how you can build your own. But really, the morning routine, oh my God, I can't tell you how much I have to thank it for the results and the outcomes that I've had so far. So I read this book called The 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma, and really, you don't have to get up at 5 a.m. Not everybody has to. Like, I choose to, but the main principle of the book was really this kind of compound effect. So he says, if you can consistently build better mornings, you build better days, you build better weeks, you build better months, and ultimately better years. And it is so true. So consciously being able to take control of my day from the very start completely changes the rest of my day. If you think about some of you, and what I used to do as well is the same, will go to sleep, wake up, the first thing you do, your alarm goes off. Who out there then clicks on Instagram and just scrolls through? You don't know what you're going to see. You might see a picture of your ex with another girl, or you might see some picture of some person with this like cheese board abs that then makes you feel like a bit like shit. You might see something completely distracting. You can't control what you're gonna see, and that emotion is the first emotion that you feel at the start of your day, and you have no idea subconsciously how that's going to affect your performance of tasks for the rest of the day and your mindset and everything like that. So I decided that actually, no, I was going to take control, set the tone of my day from the start, and reduce the chance of any kind of external stimuli coming in to sabotage my day. So I crafted my morning routine after reading the book, but I have some intentional elements. So basically what happens is I wake up, so I'll turn off my alarm and I will not go on my phone again. So I will then get my notebook and I will journal. So I'll write like a paragraph of writing of how I'm feeling, anything that pops into my mind. And the reason why I do that is because it stimulates my creativity. It also makes me feel a little bit more aware about how I might be feeling or any specific emotion coming through that morning. Then I will write three things that I'm grateful for underneath. And it could be absolutely anything. It could be something someone did for me the day before. It could be absolutely anything. And that just gets my mind into a mindset of, oh, look at these three things that are really positive about my life. Because there's so much negative thinking these days, and I don't have the capacity for it. I need to be in a positive state to get results in my day. So by just writing three things down and recognizing three positive things, I'm more likely to see the positives in my day and in life as I go on, which I think is a great thing. Then I'll write three affirmations. So these are three things that I want to achieve, and I will write them as if I have achieved them. So it would be things like, I earn X pounds a month. And it's something that I'm not earning right now, but something that I want to, because it sort of builds this acting as if, and it also reminds me of the things that I want to focus on. I feel like in this remote work environment, distractions can come by all the time, and you can always think of a new exciting idea or a new shiny thing over here, another thing that you want to do, or maybe go and do the laundry. But writing down your affirmations in the morning really reminds you, okay, these are my key main priorities, these are my focuses. So once I've written all of that out, I will then write my schedule for the day and all the tasks that I want to complete, and I will rank them in terms of order, so that I can follow that order and I'm not procrastinating on doing the easy things first and stuff like that. And that just allows me to add some structure and organization to my day. Then I will do some meditation. So at the moment, I'm really enjoying Insight Timer. I'm at that place where I enjoy meditating to music rather than someone telling me what to think about. And I just find this really calms my mind, ready for the day. And perhaps if I've had a particularly crazy dream, and I tend to have these crazy nightmares for some weird reason, it really helps calm my mind. So I'll do 10 to 15 minutes of that. And then after that, I will read whilst I'm drinking my cup of tea. And that's just an education piece. So I'll read some sort of a personal growth book or skills-based book to really inspire and educate and get my mind into that motivated sense, and also just learn something along the way. And then after that, I will go and work out. I'll either go and run along the beach, or I've been doing a lot of CrossFit lately. And that's go back into the energy piece. So I love sports. I've always loved sports. It's just something that I absolutely love, and I enjoy doing it. It's all the endorphins that go in. I feel great afterwards. I know I'm doing something beneficial for my body. I know I'm treating it well. And also, like I said before, it's an opportunity for me to challenge myself and overcome things. And after that morning routine, there's so many things I've done. I've calmed my mind. I'm seeing the positives in things. I've stimulated my creativity. I've overcome challenges, perhaps in my workout. And all of those things create this kind of protective layer that really, really turbocharges my day. When you compare that to waking up, having a look at social media or looking at a message that, like, that's from your boss that's stressing you out, or checking your emails, like, look at the difference of what that can make on your productivity, on your mindset, and ultimately your results. And then just going back to what Robin Sharma said, you know, changing your morning will change your day, change your week, change your... Think about the compound effect of doing that every single day. It's huge. So I can't stress enough how incredible a morning routine is. So that's it. I hope that that has been helpful. I hope that some of these things you can incorporate into your day. It can help your productivity. For those of you who don't yet work remotely, I hope that it's given you a bit of an insight into some of the challenges and how to overcome them, and some of the differences with working remotely to being in a traditional office. But yes, I hope that you enjoy that episode. I would be very grateful if you know another remote worker that could benefit from these things. If you could send this on to them and share with them, that would be absolutely amazing. I really, really appreciate it. And if any of these things have worked for you and you incorporate these into your day, just DM me and let me know. I love to hear about your results, and I love to hear that this is making an impact. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back with an interview episode